TV.
Hello, everybody. I got three things I want to do today. Let's see if I can get them all in. First thing I want to say is I love all of you. Even if you don't like one of my shows, or you think I don't know what I'm talking about in politics, whatever, everybody is allowed to have their opinions on this show, and you're allowed to express it on this show. And so I appreciate all of you, and I love all of you, even those of you who are wrong about things. And of course, my job is when you're wrong about something scripturally, I am anxious to correct it. Because I don't want anyone to believe the wrong things. We are to come to a unity of the faith. That's important to me. It was important to Paul, and it's important to me. On the political side, just a brief comment. I think some people misunderstood me yesterday. Some people thought I was talking about Republican versus Democrat. And I wasn't even talking about left versus right, because whenever I mention politics, there are some people, and when I mention the difference between political systems, there are always some people who say, no, it's all the same. It's only the illusion of a choice. The two parties are just one party. And if you're talking about Republican and Democrat, you have a valid point. And I am not ever talking about Democrat and Republican. I'm talking about two systems of political execution. Big government and small government. That's it. And there's a difference. For crying out loud, please don't anybody tell me they're all the same. I hear this every time I do a political show. It's all the same. Poor Martin Zender, he thinks there's a difference. He thinks there's this dichotomy. You don't think there's a dichotomy between big government and small government? Okay, if you don't want to call it big government and small government, call it tyranny and liberty. Please don't tell me there's no difference between tyranny and liberty. Would you rather live under a tyrannical government, or would you rather live in a small government that lets you serve your conscience, lets you worship freely and speak freely? Don't tell me there's no difference. Don't get absolute on me either and say, well, tyranny is of God and freedom is of God, so it doesn't matter which one we vote for. Stop it. I'm not so stupid as to realize that there are two parties, that there's a big overlap in the two political parties in my country, the United States, in that the overlap between the two parties, it's not so much a difference of political philosophy, it's a similarity of wanting to be in power and doing anything it takes to stay in power. I'm not talking about that. And for the people who think I'm talking about that and try to school me and say, you know, you poor guy, you think there's actually two systems. There are two systems. It's called liberty and tyranny. It's called slavery and freedom. And these are quite different. And I want any government that's going to promote freedom and liberty. And I hate any government, any system of government, any governmental philosophy or political philosophy that would take away the human conscience, take away human freedom. Is that such a radical statement? Don't school me on that, because there's no argument against it. In Scripture, I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians 7:21, Paul says, were you called a slave? Let it not be causing you care, but if you are able to become free, also use it. Rather, use it. Why would you use it? Because freedom is better than slavery. Yeah, if you have to be a slave, be a slave and be the best slave in the world. But if you can get your freedom, get free. If you can vote for a government that's going to make you more free, then vote for that government. And don't tell me it's the same government as the one that put you in chains. I got that off my chest. Thank you very much. Secondly, in Paul's day, there was a really stupid teaching that the resurrection had already occurred. And the two scoundrels that brought it about were named by Paul, Hymenaeus and Philetus. In 2 Timothy 2:15, 18. Yeah, these guys were saying the resurrection already occurred. Well, we have somebody in the body of Christ now, Aaron Seamster, who says the dais of Christ is now. Dais of Christ is now. Okay. Let's look at that briefly. I know there's one person made a comment. Strangely, there's like one or two people who actually agree with this, which, you know, I'll be okay. I mean, I must explain to you why this is one of the most foolish teachings, and why anyone teaching that the dais of Christ is now is unqualified as a teacher in many ways, and I will show you how on this teaching. Might be qualified in another teaching, but not qualified on this teaching. For one thing, the title of the teaching is the dais, and then in parentheses, judgment seat of Christ is now. As though dais and judgment seat were interchangeable. And then the explanation of the teaching written by the teacher himself, Aaron Seamster, is the judgment seat of Christ is a constant, present evaluation of our lives. The judgment seat. It's not a judgment seat. And even the person commenting on the teaching uses the word judgment. Anybody who uses the word judgment in conjunction with the dais of Christ doesn't know what they're talking about. They're ignorant on an important topic and should be quiet until they've done their homework. They should be quiet. They certainly should not teach. They can comment all they want, but teach? Before you know what you're talking about? A little look in a Greek lexicon or a concordance would tell anyone that the dais of Christ, the Greek word is bima, and it's step effect. It is a raised place. It is raised up. It is a place of exaltation. The Greek word for judgment is krema. And the English elements are judgment effect. Krema is nowhere in either 2 Corinthians 5:10 or Romans 14:10. One place we have the dais of Christ and another place called the dais of God. It's the same dais. 1 Corinthians 8:6, all is out of God, all is through Christ. It's a dais of God, absolutely, but it's through Christ, relatively. And it's not happening now. And I don't know why I feel compelled to blow up a teaching, to blow up yet another sect that is adhered to by only 4 or 5 people. I'm sorry, I don't know why I feel compelled. It just comes across my plate and I can't help it because I'm a teacher and I can't stand it when anybody in the body of Christ, especially people I know and people who I know to be intelligent, they go to this new teaching and say, oh, that sounds interesting. That makes sense. And I say, God, give me patience, please. God, give me patience. I'll try to be patient. I'm going to be adamant, but I'm going to try at the same time to be patient. And I will say, I love Aaron Seamster, and I love everyone who goes for the false teaching, who wants to join the sect of the judgment seat of Christ is now. It's not even a judgment seat. Just the fact that he calls it a judgment seat disqualifies him from knowing anything about it. He's done already at the title of the teaching. The dais, parentheses, judgment seat of Christ, is not a judgment. We don't come into judgment. If you think it's a judgment, no wonder you screwed up about it and don't know anything about it and are not qualified to teach about it. If you think it's judgment, I can see why you'd have a problem with it. It's not judgment. It's the step effect. It's the raised platform. It's the dais of Christ, which is also called the dais of God. And I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 14:10. to show you that no, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment seat of Christ. But now I'm quoting Aaron Seamster. Might be a nice guy. I don't know Aaron Seamster. But I'm just irritated that there is yet another sect forming in the body of Christ. Thank God it only has four people, or one. Maybe, I think it has one person in it, actually. So why am I getting upset about two people who think that the dais of Christ is now, the judgment seat of Christ is now, and that it is a not a future epic thing of beauty and glory and purpose? No, it's not what Paul says it is. No, it's a present evaluation of our lives. Well, that's creative, isn't it? Very creative. But this is the same man who thinks that applause means the opposite of applause, and that when you're qualified, it means that you're a self-righteous prick. So in the Aaron Seamster world, naturally, we would expect to find dais changed to judgment seat and a future glorious requital. And if you don't know what a requital is, do your homework. Because Paul says we are requited. We shall all be requited. If you don't know what that is, yeah, I know it's an unusual word. You have to look at it. You have to study it. That's what teaching's all about. And that's what being a student is about too. And I'm a student also. And a teacher. I'm a student also. And I look these things up, especially when they're difficult words and they're used in Scripture. So why wouldn't this individual think that, if he thinks applause means not applause and qualified means you're a self-righteous prick, then of course he thinks that this great future event is not that at all. It's a present reality. Okay, are you willing to test that, Aaron Seamster, or are you just making it up as you go, like Hymenaeus and Philetus did? Let's quote Paul. There, Hymenaeus and Philetus. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15 through 18, endeavor to present yourself to God qualified. Oh, okay, yeah. Aaron says in another place that that's a proof that they're self-righteous pricks. That's what Paul meant. When he says qualified, he meant self-righteous prick. And when he said applause, he meant the opposite. These are exact quotes from the man. A man who some people, one person I think, is looking to as a teacher. Like, hey, look at this teacher. We have a new teacher. He's got a new teaching. That there's not a great, grand, glorious requital ahead for members of the body of Christ. No, this new teacher has an exciting new teaching. What is it? That the judgment seat of Christ ain't wrong already. Anyway, go on. The judgment seat of Christ is now. I wonder if anybody is willing to put that to the test of Scripture. That's the acid test. And how about the test of common sense? But Scripture is the acid test. Endeavor to present yourself to God qualified, an unashamed worker, correctly cutting the word of truth. Yet, verse 16, from profane prattlings, stands aloof. And this teaching from Aaron Seamster is a profane prattling. Martin, what's a prattling? Glad you asked. I looked it up. Cacophonia is the Greek word, and it's empty sound. That's the English elements, empty sound. It's an empty sound. It's just nonsense. And this teaching is nonsense, just like the teaching of the resurrection has already occurred. Can you imagine Hymenaeus and Philetus coming up to the believers and saying, hey, we got an exciting new revelation. What is it, Hymenaeus, Philetus? You two are in on this together. Yeah, it took both of us. Between the two of us, we have an entire brain, and we came up with the resurrection has already occurred. You got any scripture for that, guys? No, we just came up with it. We think it sounds cool, and we think it really makes sense. Makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a ton of sense. Don't you hate that when people gravitate toward a ridiculous teaching, and their excuse for doing so is, well, it makes a lot of sense to me. Oh, well, if it makes sense to you, then, my God, must be truth. I'm sure the believers, some of the believers in that day said, well, that makes sense. The resurrection has already occurred. In what world would that make sense? Like, they're standing there. The resurrection has already occurred. So you feel like you have been raised from the dead, made immortal. Is that how you look at yourself? Paul would have said. I don't know. Paul needed Paul needed something. Paul needed kratom. I hope he had kratom. Or I needed a sip of the juice once in a while. I'm not talking about grape juice. From profane prattling, stand aloof, for they will be progressing to more irreverence, and their word will spread as gangrene. Fortunately, Aaron Seamster's word has not spread like gangrene. I hope to nip it in the bud. It looks like it has infected one or two people as of now. So, but, you know, you never know. So, their word will spread as gangrene, of whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who swerve as to the truth. Swerve. That's what we have here. We have a swerving as to the truth. We have the dais calling, being called the judgment seat. And we have a future event being called now. It's happening now. But here's what Paul says. They swerve as to the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred, and are subverting the faith of some. That's what I can't stand. If I even see one person being subverted, being tricked, being talked into something that's not true, especially people I love. And what did I just say at the beginning of this show? What did I just say? I said, I love all of you. I don't want anyone to be subverted. Second Corinthians 5:10, for all of us must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ. The dais of Christ, wow, what is that? Well, I don't know exactly what it is, except it is a thing. And we get a clue what it is from dais. It's a raised, something about it is elevated. That each should be requited. This is an adjustment. This is being given what is due you, due to your works. Reference back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Requited for that which he puts into practice through the body, whether good or bad. So a requital is an adjustment. And it is can be negative or positive depending on the works. And again, this is in perfect concordance with 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But let me point out something that I can't believe I have to point out. For all of us must be. This is the first thing I want to point out is the tense. Okay. Must be. Now keep that in mind. And I want to go to Romans 14:10. Why are you judging your brother? Or why are you also scorning your brother? For all of us shall be presented at the dais of God. Manifested in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Presented in Romans 14:10. Dais of God in Romans 14:10. Dais of Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Manifested. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, presented in Romans 14:10. This is like looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and comparing the same event. And even though we have the same writer here, it's from a different perspective, but it's the same event. Must be manifested, 2 Corinthians 5:10, shall be presented, Romans 14:10, shall be presented. Okay, now let me put on my five-year-old, my beautiful, precious, valuable to me, five-year-old grasp, five-year-old understanding. I'm a mastery of not overthinking, and I consider myself a connoisseur of the simple and of the obvious. All of us shall be presented at the dais of God. I shall be in Ohio Tuesday, or I shall be in Ohio next month. Aaron Seamster says, oh, so you're in Ohio? No, I said, I shall be in Ohio. Oh, so how's the weather in Ohio? No, Aaron, I'm not in Ohio. I shall be in Ohio in the future. I must be in Ohio in the future. Oh, so you're in Ohio. That's your home state, right, Martin? Sorry for being Mr. Obvious here, but it's unfortunately necessary. This is freaking future tense. Sorry, okay. This is future tense. This is something that shall happen. It's not something that is happening. We shall be presented at the dais of God. We must be manifested in front of the dais of Christ. Must be manifested, must be. That's also future. I must be going to Ohio. Also, how's the weather there? So how anyone can even get past that to entertain the teaching is something that I find difficult to understand and disturbing, considering the caliber of my audience. And I am not talking to 99.9% of my audience. So thank you. God bless you. You understand the difference between shall be and are. Right? Good. Thank God for you. I love you. You're all simple like me. You can see the obvious on the surface here. Next, manifested. All of us must be manifested. The Greek word is phanero. It's to make appear. Jesus manifested himself. This is scripture in context, using this word, manifested himself to his disciples. What does that mean? He showed himself. He appeared to his disciples, Mark 16 and John 21. And there are several more. If I went through every occurrence of manifested, I'd be doing the whole show. His brothers told him in John 7, 4, manifest yourself to the world. Show yourself to the world. Here's one from Paul, Colossians 3, 4. Whenever Christ, our life, should be manifested, kind of sounds like 2 Corinthians 5, 10. All of us must be manifested. All of us shall be presented. Colossians 3, 4. Whenever Christ, our life, should be future, it's all future. All three of these verses are future. When Christ, our life, should be manifested, then you also shall be manifested. Are you being manifested? Then you also shall be manifested. Listen to the wording here. You shall be manifested. Oh, I got a new teaching. We are now being manifested together with Christ in glory. Why not? It's the Aaron Seamster way. Turn shall be and must be and will be to now. Why not? Let's do it with Colossians 3, 4. Since it's so much fun with the dais of Christ and the dais of God or the judgment seat. It's so much fun to have a new teaching, an exciting teaching that can make sense to everyone. Let's just do it here in Colossians 3, 4. And I'm going to have a teaching that we are now manifested together with Christ in glory. Now, we are now manifested with him. How can you say that, Martin? Because it says she shall be. That's future. Oh, well, I'm using the Aaron Seamster method of scriptural interpretation where shall be is not the future tense. It's the present tense. I just changed shall be to is, which is not a big deal to me because I changed applause to booze and I changed qualified to self-righteous prick. It's not a problem for me. Teaching so much fun. Why didn't I do this earlier? It's not even work. And I even get one person to comment. Woo! Well, now. Aaron and the other person who thinks this is a great new teaching, go in the bathroom, stand in front of the mirror. And whatever the start this way. Don't do that quite yet. Hold on to that thought. Whatever the dais of Christ is, whatever the dais of God is, it is an exalted thing where we will be requited for that which we put into practice. It will be glorious, it will be relieving, it will be precious, it will be amazing. And it will happen after our snatching away. Okay. dais. See, if you put judgment seat, what the hell is a judgment seat anyway? What is a judgment seat? Anybody know? A seat that judges? What the hell is a judgment seat? And yet the man teaching on this titles his show the judgment seat of Christ. What the hell is a judgment seat? But I know what a dais is, and that's the Greek word here, bima, dais. I can go through all the translations. I've looked at them all because I do my homework. It's a raised platform. In this case, it's something raised. It's something high. It's something exalted. What do you know? Paul called his calling the high calling above, the calling above. What if that has anything to do with the bima? Damn right it does. Just follow the scripture. Don't follow your imagination. Don't follow your creativity. Don't follow what seems like something that makes a lot of sense to you. Follow the scripture. Look at the tense. Shall be manifested, not are manifested. The dais is now? The name of this teaching, the dais is now. That's right up there with the resurrection has already occurred. That's right up there with that. Profane prattling. Look in the mirror, gentlemen or ladies, whoever believes this garbage. Go to the bathroom and look in the mirror. And this is very simple. What do you see in the mirror? Do you see Christ or God? Are you in an exalted place? Or do you see like the towel rack, dish of soap, shower curtain? When you are at the dais of God, you won't see a towel rack or a bar of soap or a shower curtain. No. Because what you are experiencing now in all its dreary shittiness is decidedly not the dais of Christ. And if somebody needs to tell you that, then maybe instead of telling you that, they should grab you by the shirt collar and shake you out of it. Hey, wake up. You're in Ohio, man. You're not at, the dais is not now. Look around you. You call this the dais of God? You're now being requited for your acts? Or are you being kicked in the nuts for doing good works? Are you being kicked in the nuts for doing good works? Now, this must not be the dais of God, or the dais of Christ must not be it. Because you're going to be requited for good works, that not kicked in the nuts, and the requital is not going to be a kick in the nuts. Sorry. Aaron probably thinks it is. I know, but this is the real world now. This is not Alice in Wonderland. Having said all this, this is what happens when you become a teacher. This is what happens. I'm sorry. This is what happens. You are subject to criticism, and I am too, and I get it too. I get it every day. I also get complimented every day and thanked every day. Why? Because I look at the Greek. I know the scriptures. I look at the tense. I take things as they read. I don't try to make up some exciting new teaching. The dais is now. I don't try to do that. My lodestar, my north star is the scriptures. Correctly translated for Christ's sake with the right Greek word and the right tense. And it looks like the third thing I wanted to tell you, I'm going to have to save it till tomorrow. We are not now at the dais of Christ. And if you think you are, you're smoking a little too much of something.